All right. Well, welcome everybody, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week. We are thankful that we are going to get to continue our We Are the Church series. And Leah kicked it off last week with her story. So if you haven't heard Leah Kraft's story, she did an awesome job. I even told her, I let her know even if she needed to drop some four-letter words, she could, and she didn't. I was proud of her. I don't know if I could do those things. But all that to say, I'm so thankful that she did. And if it's your first time getting to hang out with us, you're like, what in the world is this We Are the Church series? Well, every time, since almost 7 years now, every fall here at the Vine, we like just to open the door to our sowers of our Vine fam, just to share your story, maybe a message the Lord has given you, how the Lord has worked in your life. And over these past few years, every year we've had at least one more sower of our Vine fam share their story. And I'm so thankful for that, because that's what this is all about. And that's what we're talking about today as we talk about loving God and loving others, is because our story matters, right? Like, we don't think it does sometimes, but all of us like to know that we matter. All of us like to know that we're seen. All of us like to know that God has remembered us. Sometimes some of my best prayers have been, Lord, remember your servant, because I need it. I need your grace today. I need your help today. I need your mercy today. Please remember me. And so I'm so thankful that we are diving into that. And that's kind of what we're walking through over these next few weeks, is being reminded that we are the church. There is no plan B for God's church. We are God's plan for growing his church. We are. There's no one else, and he could have chosen anything else. If I was God, I would have chosen ants. Not cockroaches, even though they survive everything. Ants, because ants are some of the smartest things you'll ever see. Like, just think about it. You go and you spread something down, and then the rain washes it away, and there they are. They've got their little things built up, their little mounds all over the place. You get it in one place, and then, like, right beside it is the new mound. Like, they just gone and gone. Like, that's who I would have chosen, because they are strong little things, and they survive everything. But instead, God chose us, and it's a privilege for us to get to share his word wherever we get to go in the hope of the gospel, because he's called us to do that. So really quick, how many of us have ever been in an awkward silence? Like now, right? We call that the pregnant pause. If you want to share something important, you just get in that moment, right? Now, depending on who you are, you're waiting for somebody to say something, but that could go really good. Or if it's me, usually it could go really bad, right? Because I'm the jokester, so like I'm going to find some way like to break the silence. Like there's going to be something I'm going to do. But that's the perspective we've got to have today, as we're going to be in probably the most famous sermon by the apostles, one that many of us know already, probably by heart, that's found in Acts 2. And what we're going to dive into today is we're going to learn from Peter how to share our story, but how we are the church and address the crowd. See, that person who has that pregnant pause, who says something, is going to address the crowd. That's usually what happens. And sometimes, no matter where we are, we think the person that's the loudest or the person that speaks up first should always be the one leading. But as we get older in life, we realize that's probably like the one little duck with the feathers on the back, right? Like he led the others with a what, church? Quack, 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 right? Sometimes we're just quacky. We're wacky. We don't need that. So if you've got your Bible today, go ahead and get to Acts 2. It's going to be familiar what we're walking through. If not, we're going to still have some fun. I just talked about the duck with a feather on his back, because we've got to have some perspective here and a reminder. Okay, I need some participations, and you can help me. On the count of three, I want everybody to make sounds like a turkey. Maybe it's a turkey call. Maybe it's, maybe you got that. Maybe it's a, whatever it is, on the count of three, I want you to make a sound like a turkey until I say stop. Can you do that? Terrible. Okay. You know, we just, the Lord made turkeys too. So on the count of three, make a sound like a turkey. One, two, three. Right, like you get there, like I'm doing my dance. Come on, one more time. Keep it going. Come on. All right, you can stop. Now let me ask you something. Did anybody understand what was being said? If you were a turkey, you probably could, right? But it didn't make sense what was being said, and that's what's happened at Pentecost. All the Jews are gathered in one place. They're celebrating this festival. The Holy Spirit has fallen, and what happens is before that, everyone, yes, knew Hebrew, but now every nation and tongue, what a picture of Revelation, I'm not going to lie to you, but every nation and tongue are gathered there. The Holy Spirit falls, and all of a sudden, instead of it sounding like turkeys, they're talking about God. In my language. And they're trying to figure out how. And so the perspective of the day is they're drunk on the communal wine, if you will. Like, they're drunk. That's what happened. They were sounding like turkeys, and then they made sense. I don't know what's going on. And so Peter addresses the crowd, and through that address, I believe we can learn about sharing our story, but more importantly, we can be reminded how important it is to share the hope of the gospel. So Acts chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 15. If you're there, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. If you're not there, we got a Bible for you over in the garden. As always, you can follow along with us on our Vine Church app. And Zach's made sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, it's going to be on the screen for you. So Acts 2, verse 14 says this. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you, parents. This right here should probably be on a picture frame or on the doorpost of every room in your house that your children are going to cross into. And it's this. Listen carefully to what I say, right? You just got your Christmas present. There you go. I bet I could sell those things on Etsy like hotcakes. So wherever you are, that's it. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, what I love about this is Peter's like, now if it's 9 p.m., no telling with this crowd. But 9 a.m., they're not drunk. They're not drunk. They're actually something as important that is going on. And he's going to unpack that in a moment. But this is what I want us to be reminded of as he is sharing that today when you look at verse 14 and 15. The first thing Peter does is he addresses the crowd. He speaks to the crowd. And then he empathizes with the crowd. He meets them right where they are and understands they're struggling with this. Because for their entire life, they knew somebody had to speak Hebrew, and if they didn't know Hebrew, they didn't understand what was going on. Now, all of a sudden, there's 120 people and the 12 apostles, and they're prophesying in the name of the Lord, and it's making sense, and they don't know why it's making sense. And so Peter knows they're struggling with that question. So let me ask you, if you're looking at verse 14, when Peter stood up, did he stand up by himself? No. He stood with the 11. This is why church matters, and this is what I want you to know that's so important. No matter who's up here praying, no matter who's up here leading worship, no matter who's up here saying hello to you, no matter who brings the preach, when we stand up here, we are not standing alone. Yes, Jesus is with us, but I will tell you that every person who is up here is carrying the prayers that you've prayed over them, not only today, but throughout the week to point to Jesus and all that they've done. Every salvation, every next step that's taken, you are part of it as the church, as part of the Vine fam. So know why what you do matters and why it's important while we pray, why it's important while we try to come together, why it's important we get zero calorie food, right? Like we do every one of these things and why it's important we continue to invite. So Peter stands up. And he speaks. Now, I'm going to sound really, not heretical here, but I'm going to sound almost counterintuitive, but hang in here with me. When it comes to sharing your story, and it comes to loving your neighbor as yourself, I believe many times we can be stuck on two ends of the spectrum. We have those that yell at me for going to wrestling matches, telling me I'm going to hell because somebody's going to jump through a cage or a table and the top rope, and I know better, right? They're telling me that. And on the other end of the spectrum are the people who never speak. And they hope through their good deeds that they will see Christ's light. Now, Jesus says we are to do that. If somebody calls us to carry their equipment a mile, we're supposed to go another mile, right? We are supposed to serve others. But Peter, in this moment, realizes that it's actually a mixture that it's called to. We're serving others, but at the same time, we speak to the hope of the gospel. We do not stay silent to that. And so today, I hope you're reminded and I want you to be encouraged is that neighbor that you're trying to love, that family member you're trying to love, that yes, you are serving them, being the hands and feet of Jesus, and you're hoping that they're going to ask you why. Maybe today the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you and encourage you that today's the day you need to speak to it. This is how I know. Christianese. I want to get it out here. It's going to be a two-word answer. Can y'all help me? When you came in today, you may or may not have been spoken to, but I guarantee you, if you had this question, you've got a two-word answer. How you doing? What's the answer? Fine or good you, right? Good you, good too. That's it. That's not important. It's a pleasantry, right? But the thing is, sometimes the important things we're talking about get in the way of the most important thing, the longing of our soul. Yes, it doesn't mean that we don't talk about sports with our neighbor. Yes, it doesn't mean that we don't serve our neighbor. Yes, it doesn't mean we don't talk about the weather and we have to be a jerk about it, because this is what's going to, it's getting colder at night, ain't it? I mean, you don't have to be a jerk and be like, happens during the fall, jerk. Like, you don't have to do that. But at the same time, it can lead to a conversation. You could talk about where Jesus talks about that the harvest is plenty, but the sowers are few. How you can look out and say, today it's going to rain because I see the clouds. Or we know that this is the harvest season because of the weather. We know those things. But instead, what does it point to? So Peter is now in this moment. He's saying, hey, you're worried about people being drunk, whether they drunk the Kool-Aid today, but you're missing out because you're focusing on the temporary thing. And I want you to see the eternal thing. So if we don't have a mix of Jesus and that temporary to point to the eternal, maybe today we can take Peter's example and say, hey, it's 9 a.m. I don't know what in the world is going on. Yes, there's going to be a good game on television today, but let me tell you about something that's even better. Because the truth of the matter is this, church, none of us are good. What? I'm going to tell you, maybe you are, but I ain't. The only good thing in me is Christ Jesus. There ain't nothing else good in me. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm narcissistic, will serve my flesh if left to my own devices. Each and every one of us will. And we need a Savior. And we've searched the world to try to fill that void with everything. But those of us who have found Christ Jesus realize He's our only hope. And don't we want that for those we love? Don't we want that for our neighbor? Yes. What if this? I'm going to say this more than once because it's important to me. I've shared it before. This life that is but 80 years is but a breath, right? It's a mist. It's like morning dew. I would rather risk losing my relationship with you in this 80 years by sharing the truth of the gospel that is going to offend you. I don't care where you are, the gospel is offensive because it goes against everything we want to do. I've got to love my neighbor. What? I'm supposed to be happy for Gators fans and Miami fans because they're ranked and I'm supposed to love them? It goes against what you want to do. It will offend you. I would rather risk losing my relationship with you for these 80 years so that we can be in relationship with Christ because you've responded to the hope of the gospel for the 80 billion plus years in eternity. And that's the risk that Peter is taking, and that's the risk we have to take. I would rather do that than worry about offending you and hope that maybe my 80 years here made a difference in your life and staying. Let me tell you why Jesus is our Savior. And so, church, I pray that we will be emboldened, as Peter says here. And he's saying, hey, don't be distracted by the temporary. Don't be distracted by what's happening, because in the end, that person you are looking at will either receive the free gift of salvation for God's wrath falling on them like you and I have in Christ, or they're going to receive God's full wrath. And that pleasant conversation, that elevator conversation, ain't going to give them any hope. As I read this, I always think, and we talked about this honestly the other Thursday, kind of the other night at Greenhouse, it makes me think of the story that Jesus has of the lame beggar who is Lazarus, who dies and goes to heaven, and that the rich man who he sat in front of his house begging every day goes to hell. And he sees this divide, and he said, man, would you just let Lazarus dip his finger in the water so he can cool my tongue? And he says, no, the divide is too great. Whoever comes from here can't go to there, and whoever is there can't go to here. In other words, you've chosen hell, not heaven. You've chosen something else, not Christ, and there is no hope. And he says, well, would you just let Lazarus rise from the dead and tell my family? Church, there are many Lazaruses out there that are begging someone would tell their family about Jesus. And we get to be it. We are the few workers. Yes, it's overwhelming. Yes, it is insurmountable on our own. But as we're about to see with the Holy Spirit and the very presence of God in us, it's not. It's just obediently being part of serving His kingdom. And so wherever we are right now, let's not worry about risking relationships or being offensive with someone with the gospel. It doesn't mean you need to be a jerk. Like I said, I'm going to tell you right now, by telling me I'm going to hell to go watch a wrestling match, I'm not going to choose Jesus because, you know, it's Ric Flair's last match, dude. I got to see it. I mean, I'm just going to see that in a moment in time, right? That's not it. But I tell you what, if I'm serving my neighbor and I don't have eternity in mind, I'm missing out on the fullness of it. So Peter goes on now. He's empathized with the crowd. He's connected. He's like, hey, you think they're drunk? They're not. He's about to unpack it. But most importantly, he's spoken and said, it's not just going to be my service that is going to point you to Jesus, but the word. Think of it this way before he goes on. He's sending the word of God into battle. And ain't that all we need to do? I can't save you. I can't do that. If I send God's word to battle, I know it's not going to return void. And so that's what Peter is doing, because he starts in verse 16. We're going to go 16 to 21 right here. He says, no. Now, that's speaking of the drunk part, again, at 9 a.m. 9 p.m., who knows? Could be a rowdy crowd. But 9 a.m., they ain't drunk. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, we're going to go on here in a minute, but and we can leave it up there for a second, because we're just going to keep going. But look at it this way. If you struggle with telling your story, start with Scripture. It's all you need to do. If you struggle about sharing the gospel with someone, start with the word of God. That's exactly what Peter is doing in this moment. He's saying, hey, you are all religious and you are aware of what the prophet Joel said 2,000 years ago. When this Pentecost happens, it was 2,000 years ago that Joel had prophesied that. Now, ain't it funny? We're almost 2,000 years on the other side of Pentecost and we're still getting to celebrate it. So you start with the word of God. And this is why that's important. He's going to say this in verse 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. We just made some people mad because we said men and women can both preach. Anyway, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Going to go on in verse 19 in just a minute. In other words, what Peter is saying that I love is we are in the last days. Oh, pin drop moment, because everybody thinks, oh, he's going to Revelation. My book's available in the lobby, and for your gift of $300 today, I will sign a copy, and you will help a child with a shoebox that only cost me $10, but I'm going to keep the other $290 because that Learjet ain't paying for itself. But I'm just saying, y'all know me better than that. Peter's saying, what you have studied, what you've longed for, we're in the last days. Guess what, church? We've been in the end times since Jesus was born. And since he ascended and said, I'm coming back 2,000 years ago, we're still in the end times. And that's okay, because we know how the story ends. That's what we get to share with others. They're trying to figure out the future. They're saying maybe it's life on Mars. Maybe these pictures from Pluto show us something that's important for us that is going to give us life that will sustain humankind. And you're saying, no, the only sustainer is a Savior that is Jesus. And we get to share that. And so where we go here, the reason Peter goes to the Word, and we'll continue on in a moment, that's so important. And the reason you want to share the Bible, if you're struggling with that, as Leah shared last week, how she came up with her life verse. No coincidence, my life verse is John 15:5. the vine. Anyway, wherever you are, if you don't know that, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If any man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you will do nothing. You can do nothing. Excuse me. That's it. In other words, if it ain't in Jesus, it don't matter. We got to be rooted in Jesus. So the reason Peter starts with the Bible is because now all of a sudden he's connected even more with everyone. Said this thing you've been looking for, this Messiah you've been looking for that everyone else has rejected, that you are coming to Pentecost to talk about and be excited about because now you just celebrated Passover 50 days before where now something that was a lamb that was slain for you to have life. Yeah, he's already came. This is what he's talking about. And why did Jesus come? So that God's Spirit could rest in us through his gift of salvation. What do I mean? In Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Bible is about God's presence with his people and the lengths he will go to bring his people into his presence eternally. Sin had separated us from his presence, right? Genesis 3, the fall. And so God makes a way for us through his son, Jesus Christ, doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so now we can be in God's presence. More importantly, God's presence can be in us. to the Jews at the time, the reason they went back to those festivals is they believed the presence of God was housed in the temple, because that's what God said his house would be. After Christ, Jesus reminds us, after he's risen again, that our body is the temple to God, and his presence rests in us. So Peter's saying, listen, the word of God is telling you what you have looked for is here. So, why do we share that today, and why does the word of God matter? When you get that diagnosis from the doctor, when you get that phone call from the coroner, when you get that car wreck, when you get that job loss, when that house burns down, when all of those things happen, I will be honest with you, it will not be my sermon that gives you hope. It'll be the word of God. That's it. And that's why we always preach the word here at the Vine. We're going to have the Bible in what we talk about. We're going to have the word of God that brings you hope, because your life should be built upon the word of God. The word of God, living and active. Have you ever thought why it's so important that these 66 books are there and they are as timely today as they were 2,000 years ago, as they were 4,000 years ago when Joel made that prophecy? Isn't it great to know that? That we can have the word of God. That's why everything we do, we try on a Vine update, we try to have a Bible plan that matches the message. Right now we're going through Acts 2. And if you're struggling with reading the word, or you're trying to figure out what happens, join us in that. You can do that in the app. Sometimes folks chime in, sometimes they don't. But like today specifically, it lines up exactly with the scripture we're walking through. That's important. Why do we do that? Because the word of God being reinforced is more important than any point I'm going to make, or any little quip I'm going to say, or any good little thing that makes you feel good. The word of God probably doesn't make you feel good many times, does it? I don't know about you, but it offends me a lot. I know I've shared this the other week, but if the Bible, when you read the word of God, if it is not stretching you, if it is not encouraging you, if it's not helping you take a next step, maybe you've made God in your image instead of being molded in God's image, which is why he gives us the Holy Spirit, God's presence, his operating system within us. So where you are right now, Peter is saying these last days are here. Little homework before we go on, why in the world does this matter, is this is the reverse of Genesis 11. And in Genesis 11, you probably remember, was the Tower of Babel. And remember, all of mankind spoke one language. They didn't sound like turkeys. They spoke one language and said, if we build something to God, we can be equal to him. And so God said, no, if they come into my presence now in sin, they're going to die. And so he spreads out everyone across the world to be in their own language where they don't understand. This is the reversal of that, because God said, instead of you build something to me, I'm going to come down to you and my son, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make the way for you to be in my presence. And through that, now you can have a common language that you understand together. That is what Pentecost is all about. More on what's happening here in a minute. Let's go ahead and finish 19-21 to see what is very, very important for us to understand why all this matters. Verse 19-21 says, I will show wonders in heaven, in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. I'm just kidding. That just sounded, we'll keep going. Sorry. We're coming into October. I mean, something's about to happen. Anyway. 20 is going to be very relevant because we just had one of these moons. We'll put it out there. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood. Wasn't there like a harvest moon here recently? Is it? Anyway. And the blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. 21 is why it all matters, what Peter is getting to. Why did Pentecost happen? And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter's saying this is the whole point. In Acts 1, Jesus ascends and says, I'm sending you the advocate who is better than I, the Holy Spirit. You will do greater things than I, because now all of a sudden you can have the very presence of God housed in you. That's why he was resurrected by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait for eternity to be in the presence of God if we have faith in Christ. We have it right now. And I don't know about you, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. That God would choose me, like, have you seen me sometimes driving? If you have, I'm sorry. But that being said, like, he would choose me, of all people, to have his presence. Me, who literally lets him down and fails him every single day. He still works through me, through faith in Christ. See, oftentimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, you think I'm going to go Pentecostal, if you will. I'm not going to do that here in the house of the Lord, but I am going to say this. Why does that matter? Well, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God, but the reason that matters is through faith in Christ Jesus and Him dying for us, for our sins, and rising again eternally, being that eternal atoning sacrifice on the cross, when we have the presence of God in us, we think the Holy Spirit changes what we do. And I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't. It changes what we want to do. It's a big difference. See, changing what you do, it's going to last for a couple days, ain't it? New Year's resolution, that diet didn't even last probably that day, that night, right? Yet when we have the Holy Spirit changing what we want to do, which is not what we want to do in our flesh. Did you see that person cut me off? Like, I got to go get them. Like, our flesh wants to go get them. Our flesh wants to be mad at them. The Holy Spirit pushes back and says, hey, pray for them. I am. I'm going to pray for them. They don't meet you real quick. Like, I'm going to go get. No. Pray for them. Love them. Love them right where they are. That's a hard thing to do. We can only do it with the Holy Spirit. See, what I love about this that Peter talks about that really gets me jacked up is, just a moment, if you're in your Bible in verse 17, it talks about why God matters and why this matters. See, before this, the Holy Spirit fell upon the prophets. It was a few men, right? One of my favorites, Samuel. People were afraid when Samuel walked in, right? When you see him anointing David, people were like, oh, crap, here comes Samuel. Like, they were... Like, they knew something was going down. Like, oh, crap, I got to get out of town. Like, Samuel, what are you doing here, dude? Is everything all right, man? Like, are we cool? What's going on? And it's because normally the prophets spoke against what the people were doing. So God's Spirit rested upon a few people. Now look who God's Spirit rests upon through faith in Christ. I will pour out my Spirit on what, church? All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your vine kids will prophesy. Out of the mouth of babes will the word of the Lord come. Not only our little vine kids and our spur ministry, which keep praying, we got to get that going, church. Our spur, our young men will see visions. Now, in verse 18, it says both men and women, so don't hang on to that. Some of you who like to stop at 17, 18 comes after for a reason. Your young men and women, our young adults ministry, they will have visions, but it doesn't stop there. It says your old men will dream dreams. What does this mean? It means in Christ there are babies in faith, there are adolescents in faith, and there are mature in faith. What does it mean? None of us retire from ministry in God's kingdom. We should always be discipling each other. There should always be an adolescent discipling a baby in the faith. There should always be a mature in the faith discipling an adolescent in the faith. And all three in the faith should always be inviting someone who is considering the faith to be a part of it. God says each and every one of them will have the Spirit poured out on them. So no longer are you disqualified because you don't have it memorized. No longer are you disqualified because you don't know more than the Torah. No longer are you disqualified because God's Spirit could only rest upon one or two. Now through faith in Christ, God's Spirit can be on all of us. And that should be encouraging because it should unite us. It should make us have unity. One of the beautiful things that's happened in this relief effort is the church is unified. I pray it stays there. Yet so often we'll start getting mad. He wears blue jeans at church. He's one of them. He lets women get up there and speak and preach. I don't know if he's going to have to answer to the Lord for that. I'm glad you worried about my problems, brother, because I got too many of my own to worry about yours. Instead, let's be unified. Well, they gave this amount of money, and they could give more. I know they could. I've seen their cars in the parking lot. That's awesome. I'm glad you could do that. Maybe God's calling you to give more, and that's why you're so mad at me about it. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, let's stay unified. And the way we do it is through the Holy Spirit. In other words, what I love Peter is saying and what the prophet Joel was saying is this. You're never too young to start. You're always too old to make an excuse. There's always a reason you don't want to do it, honestly. At least for me. Maybe not for you. I could probably think of 10 reasons why I don't want to do it. Sometimes the one reason I need to do it is because God's called me to, and I don't like that sometimes, right? Well, God, I did a plus and minuses. I did the good and bads. I did a SWOT analysis, if you will. And there's 10 on this side and one on the other. And he was like, which one's more important? All right, I'll go do it, right? Sometimes reluctantly we do that. We miss out. So today, wherever you are, hopefully you'll understand why the body of Christ matters, why Peter is standing up with the apostles, why the 120 are prophesying. They all needed each other. You and I need each other. You don't like to hear that. None of us like to think we can't make it on our own. I don't care who you are. You don't want to believe that. All of us want to think we can make it on your own. You know how I know that? Because my hard head just did with no power. And people saying, hey, I'll drop a generator to you. Nah, God's got me. That's good. We'll throw them windows up. I'll be good, man. I'm good at night. Sure enough, he'll get the power to me. He'll get the power to me. Nah, I got this, man. I'll be good. Lord's going to bring me power. Yeah, he did 13 days later. I mean, it was something that happened right away, right? We want to be able to make it on our own, but we need each other. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be lifting each other up, encouraging each other, but also we need to work together to reach the lost. Let me ask you, we're going to go watch a football game. Many are going to do that later today. Can a running back who hangs on to the ball very well but has broken legs be any benefit of their team? The answer is no. It's all right. Can a wide receiver who can run really fast but can't catch the ball, it's all of Florida State, but can't catch the ball, are they any good for their team? No. It takes everybody together. The legs, as Paul writes, is most the unmentionable parts are just as important as the seen parts. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the feet, the toes, the fingers, all of us matter in God's kingdom. And there's always room for one more. So let's get down to verse 41 and 42 as we see as Peter's encouraged us to share our story by speaking God's word into it, meeting others right where they are, understanding they're trying to figure out if it's really true what our faith is or not. In this example, it's the temporary of the wine, but he goes to the word of God instead of saying first who he is. Now, he goes on and gives one of the most beautiful examples of the gospel there if you were to go on and read in 22 and on, but I want to encourage you to say this. Read Acts 2 on your own time this week, and I want you to come back next week and tell me if Peter said, hey, I denied him three times, and he saw me on the way to the cross. The answer is he didn't. So you can say that next week. Did he say, hey, he restored me on the seashore when I jumped out of the boat, and that's why I'm here? He didn't. He didn't share his successes and failures. He just said, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. The thing you've been looking for 2,000 years has come. And now is your chance to respond to it. And the people that do respond to it, we see in verse 41 and 42, the most famous that it goes there. It says this, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. And look how this church was healthy, the Acts 2 church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. That's a church service, ain't it? We got zero-calorie food. There's bread in there somewhere. We pray, we worship, and we dive into the Word of God each and every week. You see, the reason that I love this is this is why we live as a church. We celebrate. If I look at us as a church, definitely we love to be irrationally generous church. And it's because that's what God has given us. And I will tell you, we always celebrate it. God's given us, and we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure, and everything that he has given us. And we can't help everybody, but we do help those he's called us to. Like if you call today and say, I need $1 million right now, unless God's called us to write you that check, it ain't going to happen. I'm just going to be real with you. God's going to have to do something with that bank account because I just bought that Learjet, so that $1 million ain't coming in. That check's going to bounce, dog. Like I ain't going to lie to you, and that don't do nothing for the kingdom. So we try to help everyone that God's called us to. We try to be the body of Christ. And why does that matter? Well, 120 people boldly stood up, and God grew their number to 3,000. And instead of them pointing out their differences, they instead devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship together. They break bread, and they pray together. It goes on to say this in verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why in the world does that matter? Because the people of God grew in connection together as they grew in connection to the Lord, and they served, and they pointed that out to everyone the Lord placed in their path. All because Peter was willing to stand up and speak. God said, I just need one. But Peter didn't stand up alone. Once Peter spoke and stood up, 11 more stood up. And with those 11 more, the other 120 that were in the church stood up. And now they started speaking in Turkey and started making sense, and no one knew it, and it didn't make sense. And all of a sudden, 3,000 were added to that number. And the reason this burns my heart and gets me excited is this. We just celebrated an Asbury revival, what, a few years ago, right? It's been a couple years now, right? Maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. I feel like we have a revival once a decade in America. Peter's saying, instead of celebrating a revival once a decade, God created us that it should happen daily. And it starts with us. Revival is us confessing and repenting. Revival is us saying, hey, Jesus, I messed up, and I'm so thankful for your grace and mercy. Whatever you're calling me to today, I pray that I would boldly step into it. That's revival. Because when revival happens, evangelism follows it. Always, always. You can't have revival without evangelism, but you can't have evangelism without revival. God's people have to be tuned into him and the Holy Spirit to do that. And in that, what's beautiful is we see the church just explode. Revival. I want to start with what I said a second ago. More than a second ago, a few minutes. Anyway, I would rather offend you with the truth of the gospel and put our relationship at risk, because I love you enough that, as I've heard beautifully said before, heaven would be so much better with you in it than to worry about whether you're not going to talk to me any time the rest of my life, whether you're not going to wave at me going down the street, whether my answer is going to always be, how you doing? Good, you? Good, too. Instead of that, I will say, listen, I don't have any goodness in me. Not one lick of it. It's only Jesus Christ in me. Because you know what? I saw you wearing that Florida Gators jersey, and I wanted to punch you straight in the throat. But I said, Jesus, I love you. I love them. You've called me to love them. You've called me to love them. And so we love them. I love them. I saw what you did to that person. I saw how you cut me off at that red light. I saw it. But God, you've called me to love them. Today, God's going to place someone in your path that needs to hear the hope of the gospel. Probably at lunch. And the simple conversation can be, how can I pray for you? I promise you, it'll spill. The beans will spill. The tea will spill. It will happen. And maybe that's God opening the door to work through you. If there's any prayer that I've ever had as a pastor, I want to tell you here at the Vine, my prayer is that every one of our Vine fam gets to lead at least one person to Jesus before he calls them home. You can't save them, and I can't save them. But in surrender to him and the Holy Spirit moving, man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. Because we know that salvation is a starting block, right? It's not the finish line. It's not like, oh, you're saved, you'll figure the rest out, bless you. No, no, no. It says those that are babies in the faith prophesy, those who are young men will dream, will have visions, and those who are old men will have dreams. In other words, the whole church has to come together to disciple, or else it don't work. When it falls on one or two, it's going to fall apart. But when we all work together, my goodness, what Jesus can do. That's the unity of the church I see. That's the unity of the Acts 2 church and how it exploded. Because here's the most important thing. We celebrate every decade a revival. What if today the only glimpse of the light of Christ that person will see, not just today, but for the rest of their life, is going to be shown through you? But our fear stood in the way. I get it. I get it. Not every we've all got fears. We got fears of every, all of us have fears. But what if we just boldly said, you know what, Jesus, use me. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Today, I don't know who you're going to place in my path, but I trust you. And guess what? Here's what most of our fear is. I'm just going to mess it up. Just share the word of God. Just share the word of God. And the easiest way to do that is through prayer. I will tell you. And mine, when I don't know what to say to somebody, I ask them how I can pray for them. And when they spill it, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's showing me where Scripture to lead them in. And so wherever you are, that's my prayer for you. So today, I just pray that everyone who knows the Lord, that you would be emboldened, that today maybe you would be encouraged, that you would see Peter. I'm not telling you that we're going to have 3,000 people here tomorrow. I don't know any of that, because it's not my job to grow it. It's God's job to grow it. It's just our job to walk in obedience. So if that's the Christian today, I just pray, and my prayer for all of us is that we would be bold in sharing the love of Christ. It doesn't have to be a 50-minute sermon, an hour-and-a-half sermon. It doesn't have to be a two-minute elevator speech. Peter gave us the template. I don't know what to share with them, Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what Scripture to share, and you open your Bible and you show it to them. That's how we can start. for others of us today, maybe you're watching online or you're in the house and you've been trying. You were like those Jews coming to the festival. You're just trying to be a good person. You're trying to check off the box. You're trying to show up to be religious. You're trying to show up to be righteous. You're trying to do all the things that gets you the good karma because you're a good person, and eventually a good person is going to get good things, right? Wrong. None of us are good. If that's you today, I just want to ask you this. What's the last relationship you were in that you were so satisfied you didn't seek another? What's the last job promotion that you got that you were so satisfied you didn't seek a number? What's the last meal you ate that you were so satisfied you didn't want another? And the truth is, no matter where you are on this earth, in sin and in your flesh, you will never be satisfied. You will always want more and hope the next thing satisfies you. And I'm here to tell you, nothing will. Only Jesus can. He's the only satisfying and sustaining thing. The longing of your soul is what you are struggling with. You are struggling with peace. You are struggling with security. And you're hoping you find it in this 80 years. That just maybe if there's 80 billion more to come, God will be gracious to you and let you in. But the truth of the matter is, God is so gracious to you, instead of worrying about getting let in, he's saying, I want you to let me in today. I want you to trust me as Lord and Savior. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior, separated from an almighty God, a creator God that created us to be in his presence. And instead of leaving us this way and trying to figure out what to do, building towers to him and trying to be good and trying to be religious and trying to check all the boxes and win all the races and do all the right things, he said, you can't do it. So I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to do all the right things through my one and only son, Jesus Christ, who's going to live the perfect sinless life that you can't live. Die the death you deserve, bearing God's full wrath for your sin, being an eternal atoning sacrifice on the cross for us, but loving us enough not to stay dead. He rises again on the third day so that God's presence can be in us now. And the way that you do it is through faith in him. Paul writes it this way in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. In other words, we're about to say a prayer here in just a moment. It's faith. It's faith in your heart that overflows in your words, saying, I believe, Jesus, you have done for me what I can't do for myself. You are my Savior, and I surrender my life to you. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to say this prayer out loud, because nobody prays alone here in our Vine fam, and we're going to do it together. And the words of this prayer isn't going to save you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, live the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, die the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. Now, whether you're watching online or you're in the house, if for the first time you have stopped trying to find satisfaction in the temporary, but instead have found fulfillment in Christ Jesus by trusting him as your Lord and Savior today, if for the first time you have done that, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you've done that in the house of the Lord, if you're watching online, you can leave a raised hand emoji. Hopefully in a moment we'll have a link up there. You can go to thevine.tv/respond. You can shoot us a message on social media. You can shoot us a text message at 864-580-6698. We want to celebrate this decision with you, because it's not the finish line, but the starting block of the rest of your life. And how you continue to run that race that God has marked out for you is in a local church near you. And we would love to help you take that step today. And for the rest of us, if you want to go ahead and look up, you can stand up. We're going to go into this moment of worship. Let us be reminded today of all that Jesus has done for us, not of what we have done for ourselves or for him. So let's worship together.
the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from his side. No greater sacrifice. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. The freedom he has won, even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. Now on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven.
And that's why we share the hope of the gospel, right? It's our praise back to him for what he's done. And I'm so thankful that somebody was willing to share it with me when I was a little boy in children's church, afraid to go to big church, quote unquote, and my sister had to stay in there with me. And if it wasn't for that, I will tell you right now, it would have been a lot longer before I responded to the gospel. Was I perfect in my life in doing it? Shoot, no. You can't mess up as much as I've messed up. But let me tell you, the grace of God, as he has used every time I've messed up for his glory and for my good. Every time I've been obedient for his glory and for my good. And so wherever you are today, share the hope of Jesus, because that's what we're going to celebrate next week. 7 years of the Vine TV. It's going to be awesome. And I want to tell you, we're going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate God's faithfulness because of what he's done, but most importantly, of so much more he has in store. We hope you have an awesome week. We can't wait to see your smiling face, to have some zero calorie food. Hopefully the black lung will be amongst us no longer. And we can't wait to see you next week. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.